Hey, you
Amber,
two.
Who are we?
Who are we? We are Q's in the pod.
Who are we individually?
I am Amber. I am an artist and a farmer and various other things depending on the day.
Who is that man in my house?
I think he's Daniel, but Daniel doesn't hang out with us anymore, so maybe he isn't.
It might be a replicant. I don't know.
Who am I?
You're Tom Quackenbush, the writer of maybe Artificial Gods, maybe?
Maybe.
Perhaps. Check it out. Buy it on Amazon. So I wonder which Q would be easier to stuff into a pod, because...
The uppercase or the lowercase?
I think the uppercase would fit better.
Huh.
Because they're round and you could, like, tessellate them a little bit.
Maybe.
That's probably true.
With the lowercase, I could just hook them together.
Oh, that's true. They could form a more dense weave.
Yeah, but they're longer. Yeah.
A dense weave of cues.
So it really depends on what sort of pod you're trying to put them in.
It's true. So what are we going to talk about tonight? I had a sex dream about Christina.
Oh. That's...
Well, she was there too.
Oh, I did want to talk about something. But
okay.
I figured out what my favorite food is.
What is your favorite food? Because I know in the non-NSCon podcast, we didn't quite get to that question.
Yes. Well, yeah.
What is your favorite food?
The first tomato of the season.
The first tomato of the season.
That's great.
Are you Martha Stewart?
Why?
That seems like a Martha Stewart answer.
And you must enshrine it. And
no, it's just really good.
Be sure to wash it in virgin butter every day.
What? Don't wash tomatoes in butter. Virgin's butter.
If you care about them.
Yeah. So, say something that I can use to have a podcast.
Tomatoes are delicious.
This is what we're talking about now, is Amber's favorite food, and it being a tomato.
The first tomato of the season.
Because then, fairly quickly, you get overwhelmed with tomatoes, and they're not as good.
I suppose, even though
they're probably, like, technically they're exactly the same as the first tomato.
So it doesn't actually have to be the first tomato of the season. It's the first tomato that you eat of the season.
Before you get tired of them.
I'm going to eat the first tomato of the season. Like, if I see a ripe tomato in my vine, I'm going to eat it.
Because you have a compulsion.
No, because it'll be delicious.
Because you've convinced yourself.
Is it similar to being like, if you're the one that's carving the turkey, you get to like pick the bits?
Sure.
Which probably isn't a thing.
No.
Unless you live alone.
You're going to make a sad thing. So,
you live with a cat.
Why don't we talk about what makes you happy? So that tomato makes you happy, right, Amber?
Yeah. Tomatoes make me happy in general. They're love apples.
It's good that we get so many of them, then.
They love apples. It does make me sad when they rot on counters, though.
Well, when love rots, it makes you sad.
Yes.
That seems fitting.
Yeah, they're called love apples.
True. I know. Mm-hmm. I've also seen crappy 80s movies about the medieval ages.
I have not seen
You
that.
Should.
Wait, which movie tells you that they're love apples?
I distinctly recall an adolescent princess recalling when I saying, "Oh no, a poisonous love apple!"
They did think they were poisonous, because they're part of the Nightshade family.
Exactly. So maybe it's not so ridiculous.
That they're poisonous, or what?
The medieval people thought that.
It makes sense that they thought they were poisonous. But only a little bit, depending on, like, later.
Unlike the water in Flint, Michigan, which is always toxic.
Not always, just recently.
just for the duration of recent history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, because they decided to take it from some slightly acidic water and it corroded out of their pipes.
Yes.
So even if they switch to
a clean water
source, they'll still have a problem, right?
Yeah, that is the big issue, is that they need to replace the entire infrastructure.
Yeah.
Which they were warned about, and they knew this would happen. Like there's no question that they knew this would happen.
Yep.
But someone got a little bit of a payout or something.
Yes. Well, and of course, it's one of those things where it's not just Flint, Michigan. There are a lot of towns across the nation that are as bad or worse for similar reasons.
I hear that a lot of Native American reservations have very problematic water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, among everything else. But here, you can live on the worst possible land we can find that you can have, because we don't care about it. and then, you know, good luck.
Yeah, we still. Yeah. But yeah. Hey, you don't have to pay taxes on cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. in gambling, so, you know, yeah. White people can come have fun.
Right.
And ruin your infrastructure also. Yeah, the worst thing about the Flint thing is that lead poisoning is basically irreversible. Like, yeah. it just, by, it lowers your mental acuity, and you can't fix that. Like, it's just a thing you're stuck with for the rest of your life.
That does suck.
To my knowledge.
We may have destroyed the person who would cure cancer or whatever, because they got lead poisoning.
Or the next Hitler.
Yeah. Well, and that's always...
I never can entertain that argument.
Or we created the next Hitler.
It's true.
I think you can... You can't... It's true. I don't think you can argue that, like, you know, if you were equally likely to make, you know, a Stephen Hawking, then you're probably equally likely to make a Hitler. But mm-hmm. a sane society would, you know, still try to cultivate as many Stephen Hawkings and as many... Well, even Hitler, if he had had proper guidance, might not have been a horrible monster.
If he got accepted to art school.
If he hadn't been living in a society that, you know, reinforced his views of, sure. you know, blaming it on everybody else. Hitler was not, he didn't develop in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Just like Donald Trump didn't develop in a vacuum.
Ugh. Are you sure? He might have been a scientific experiment.
I'm pretty sure.
In a vacuum.
Did you see the video of him mocking Rubio by blasting?
Oh, yes. Just inconceivable.
Right.
I can't think of any other, on national television.
And people are, they're like, oh, he's a straight shooter. He says what we're all thinking.
Well, he just looks annoying.
Yes.
He looks annoying. He sounds annoying. No, I have seen some analysis that, like, he is actually using pretty sophisticated linguistic, like, programming mm-hmm. in a way. But I also wonder if it's just that, you know, he's... I still have a hard time imagining that he's doing it on purpose and mm-hmm. that he just hasn't, like, rather than him having just sort of innate, you know, an innate understanding of these kind of verbal tricks and, mm-hmm.
and things. Like, What sort of verbal tricks and things?
It just the way that he talks and the cadence that he uses and some of the words that he uses and the way that, like, he'll, you know, attack other people. Like, it's apparently similar to kind of high level neurolinguistic nonsense.
Wow.
But again, like, my assumption is that he's just naturally good at it rather than calculatedly, because he's so bad at business.
Right. I think you're making the argument that he is an experiment, that he's just maybe. Naturally good at being a manipulator.
Or it could be a family heritage thing.
I have to say, in defense of Hitler, mm-hmm. that at least Hitler seemed relatively intelligent, just amoral and evil.
Well, in the thing with Hitler, like, apparently his actual talent was surrounding himself with people who were competent. Mm. I don't think he was actually that, like he made a really good figurehead, and I think he understood that to a large degree.
So he's like, what's his face? The not Tesla.
Oh, Edison?
Edison!
Yes.
What?
I just love that he can be described that way as
not Tesla.
Yes. You know, the guy... The other one.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Because Tesla's so much cooler. Even though I probably knew Edison's name long before I knew Tesla's. I also thought Tesla was magic.
Well...
He's a little magic.
Sort of.
But he apparently played with electricity balls in front of people.
Supposedly, yes.
Yeah. Like magic. But yeah, Donald Trump. Why is he orange? Do we know?
Oh, spray tan.
Spray tan?
Yeah, yeah,
spray
tan. Same reason.
But he's doing it intentionally, though, right?
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Not McConnell. McConnell's the one that looks like a turtle.
So it was just, like, part of his branding, then?
Yeah, it's a thing. Like spray tanning is a social status thing.
It makes his eyes seem really sallow.
Yeah, yes, but, like, as a social status thing, wouldn't you pick a good spray tan that didn't make you orange?
Well, I wonder if that's not with the neuro-linguistic programming sort of thing. Like, he wants to be that color.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, well, I wonder if it's like,
look how mockable I am. Ha ha ha. And, you know, he's being a fascist over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear how he wants to make Mexicans pay for the wall?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
For our listeners, he basically wants to stop all money going over the Mexican border that coming from people working here to pay for their families in Mexico. He's going to stop all that under emergency powers and use that to build the wall. And that's billions of dollars.
That's such a dick move.
Yes, but it's like a sort of conniving dick move. Like, it's not just randomness. It's like, I legitimately know of a good loophole that I can exploit.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's also a variation on the classic bully thing of, like, trying to hit you with your own hands.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're going to make this thing to exclude you, and then also, you have to pay for it.
It's like the robots from The Matrix. They didn't need us to be batteries. They just wanted to degrade us.
Yeah, actually, like, I don't know if we talked about that before, but I do think that that was one of those plot points that they changed. Because originally it was that they were using us for processing power, which makes way more sense.
Oh, yeah, I accept that.
Like, human bodies would be such inefficient batteries. It just... so dumb.
But they would be good for processors.
Yeah, the Matrix is inside our heads, literally. Would have been so much better.
Yeah, that's also essentially the plot of the Hyperion trilogy. Or no, the Hyperion trilogy by, you know, what's his face?
Who's what's his face?
Clark?
No, newer. He also wrote, Endymion, another trilogy. I don't know. It's Space Canterbury Tales, whatever it is.
Okay.
But, no, like, straight up, like his thing, the guy whose name I can't recall now, his thing is like showing off how literarily, you know, equipped he is, and so it's just a really obvious like oh, this is Canterbury Tales in space.
Yay!
I also wrote a book about the Greek War that I didn't finish. That's about, you know, super future humans and nanotech and the Trojan War and look how knowledgeable I am about history. And also one of the main characters is a dumpy old professor who like gets to sleep with Helen of Troy, and weird. She's fine with it.
Well, maybe he was smart.
Is it Dan Simmons?
Yes, Dan Simmons. Thank you. who apparently started was mostly known as a horror writer before getting into sci-fi.
Did you search Canterbury Tales in Space?
No, I searched in Endymion.
Yeah. Now, I remember really enjoying his work because he does, like, far future tech really well, like trying to extrapolate, you know, those things. But he also, like, in one of the books, spends, like, at least 3 pages describing the clouds on a gas planet and...
Okay, yes. Is the planet made of gas, or is it just...
like a gas giant, but...
Okay.
You know, so essentially, like all Saturn. Clouds. But yes, Jupiter.
Jupiter?
Well, yeah, Saturn, too. But
a really big one.
But you can't take that long talking about clouds. I don't care how pretty they are. Like, it loses the impact after the second paragraph. And then you have to move the story along.
I don't know. I think you can talk about clouds for as long as you want.
You can.
There was a photographer who I currently forget his name, and that's stupid, I should know it. But he has a whole series of pictures of clouds, because people were basically saying, like, you're only a good photographer. He was, like, one of a very early photographer. Was like, you're only such a good photographer because you have good subject matter. Like, you can go travel and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I will take pictures of clouds, because everyone can take pictures of clouds. So I'm a great photographer, because I can take good pictures of clouds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do think with photography, like, a big part of it is it's way more understanding how to frame the shot than it is what you're actually taking a picture of.
Yeah.
Like, composition is all of it.
Yeah.
Basically.
I think it in almost any art, like, if you're actually really good at it, like, the most banal thing becomes actually interesting.
Mm.
Conversely, if you're a shitty writer, you can have a fantastic idea and you'll overlook it to instead focus on a pedophile vampire.
Yeah. Are we talking about Anne Rice?
Ha! I was actually talking about Stephanie Meyer, but
yes,
it is equally applicable. I just know that people have spoken to me about like how cool some of like the background characters are, and why are the books not about them? Instead, it's about Edward schmooping over some little teenage girl.
True.
Yeah. Well, that's and that of course is normally where fan fiction could come in to save the day, if you know copyright were less crazy.
Which that, I think it should be.
Well, fan fiction is usually fine as long as they're not making money off of it.
And that's the problem, is like some fan fiction is good enough that they should be.
Like the new Star Wars. It's essentially fan fiction. That's sanctioned.
But I guess you don't make money off of it anymore. Like, because they did the Kindle Worlds thing, remember?
Yeah. They're still doing it as far as I know.
I guess you get money from the sale of your stories, do you?
Yes.
Okay, it's just that if they feel like putting your story in the actual show, you don't get any credit.
That's correct.
Mm. Which, that's kind of confusing. I guess it's still like following the dichotomy of like, if you get exposure, we're not going to pay you.
Yeah.
It's their characters and stuff. Like, they're giving you special permission to be able to write these stories and get like money off of them.
What's interesting is that isn't much different than if you were writing for a show. Like, you're writing for somebody else's characters. Mm-hmm. But you're still going to be listed in the credits as a writing team.
Yeah.
Probably.
Sure. So I'd assume they would credit you if you did it, but they don't have to.
I think that'd be another area where like it would be really interesting to see how it develops if it got big enough to, you know, warrant having discussions about like, you know, joining the Writers Guild and, you know, being a part of that. Or if there was one.
There's a Writing Guild. I do know, I can't remember the name of it, but there's some like really prestigious writing guild. You have to make $5,000 off a single piece of writing before they will consider inducting you. But I'm never going to do that.
You might eventually.
But like, yes, it took me 20 years to make $5,000 off of We Shadows. Well, can I join now? No, I don't have prestige.
What if I pay you $5,000 to write something for me?
I don't know.
Yeah, I imagine.
Maybe that's how some people have gamed the system.
Yeah.
But it also seems like one of those systems that, you know, is easily gameable and is also kind of useless to you, because if you've done that, you already have a measure of success, and it's sort of like you have to have that level of success before you can.
You need to not need us before you can have us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, like it's not that hard to get at the top of like a bestseller list. You just especially if you like have a lot of insider help or
you know, access to the guy who wrote A Child Called It basically bought 10,000 of his own book and put himself on the bestseller list. Though he swears that's not what he did. He just happens to have 10,000 of his own book.
Yeah, no, and that's, I mean, Church Scientology does that constantly. I don't think Dianetics would have been as highly rated if they hadn't had church members buying millions of copies.
They should have made them buy tickets to Starship Earth.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a pretty interesting concept of having, like, a group that you can basically say, hey, buy this.
Well, again, it's the terrifying nature of humanity. Like, our primary power is organization. You know, just like ants, we can be that efficient and terrifying if, you know.
That's one thing I was reading about human domestication and, like, the different theories about are we self-domesticated or what. I like the theory that we're domesticated by plants. While we domesticate plants, they domesticate us, too.
Yeah.
But one of them is that we're domesticated by organizations. Yeah. Which also makes sense. Like, governments and things do have their own sort of entity-ness.
And so we're stuck in a perpetual adolescence, which is increasingly long, given that hopefully longevity is increasing.
True.
But, you know, we have... I'm 35, and I definitely don't feel like an adult.
Mm.
And I feel like, at least give it, like, 30, 40 years ago, people my age definitely are like, yes, I'm an adult. Why would you even question that?
Yep.
My seven children, I guess seven, maybe a bit of a stretch 40 years ago. But
yeah.
And the economy was different, too. The economy being as it is making us adolescent.
Like a lot of wage slaves and such like that, which you know, makes you feel unproductive, but at the same time keeps you in a situation where you have to stay that unproductive.
Also, like, things are better. Like, again, our generation didn't have to toil in the factory necessarily. So, because I've kind of thought about that a lot too, the idea that, you know, the only real difference between myself now and myself when I was 18 is that I have more experience. Like, I do not feel older. And I don't necessarily think that's an abnormality. I think that's probably more natural than... Because a lot of times when you look at what we used to consider adulthood, it's almost all like your soul has been crushed into this, you know, machine that just does what it has to.
Except for the baby boomers, who I'm pretty sure had it really nice, and that's what I'm comparing against. Mm. Like, I wouldn't want to work in the factories, I wouldn't want to have my soul crushed, but the idea that I could work a minimum wage job, pay my way through college, and then immediately after college... get married and buy a house without struggling.
Yes.
On a one income.
Yes.
Yep.
But that would be even better. Like, that would be even more ideal.
Yep.
But,
that's one thing you hear about. Like, if you're looking for how our society should, how we should change America's society and make it even better and make it more efficient and everything, is you don't have, like, there isn't another country possibly to look at, but you can look, like, America's past is better. When it came to economic policies,
if that makes sense.
If you were white.
I was going to say,
that's it's true. Like,
you know, living on the plantation looks awfully white if you're in the shade. Yeah. If you're the guy getting the mint juleps.
Well, I mean, more like, I think it was how they did all of the public works and everything. That was Roosevelt, right?
Although, but it is important to remember that that came about because we had run ourselves into, you know... a comparatively worse depression than we're currently facing.
Yeah, but, and like, we're not...
President Trump is going to change that, because what he wants to do is he wants to kick the migrants out and give those jobs to people in the inner city, and that's going to appeal to a lot of people in the inner cities who might vote for Trump just because it sounds like they're going to get jobs.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, like, I do think the majority of the appeal Trump has is with, you know, blatant racists, but also people who just want anything other than, you know, Clinton and Bush.
Yep.
Like, that's where I feel he got most of his draw initially. Because there is actually a weird, like, overlap between Bernie Sanders supporters and Trump supporters. Like, a lot of people, or there's a fraction of people who, if Sanders doesn't get the nomination, they're not going to vote for Hillary. They're going to vote for Trump. Because they just want somebody else.
Yeah,
the dynasty.
And to be fair, Trump isn't exactly a Republican.
No, he isn't.
He would be way better than a Marco Rubio or a Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz would still, I think, be the absolute nightmare option because he's, you know,
the Zodiac killer.
Yes, he's a competent sociopath.
Except, like, I don't know, like, if you think of foreign, like, our foreign view, like, what other countries would see it, view how other countries would view us, either of them seems better than Donald Trump in that respect.
Well, but we've already had Bush. Like, nobody on the foreign stage took Bush seriously. He was clearly an incompetent idiot, and everybody knew that.
And remember when they asked why he went and attacked Saddam Hussein, and his answer was, and I quote, "He tried to kill my daddy."
Yeah.
Wow. How do you try and kill his daddy?
Oh, he didn't. We intervened in a dispute between our good friend Saudi Arabia and Iraq. Well, Saudi Arabia had Kuwait. Saudi Arabia was allies with Kuwait, I believe, and Iraq was invading Kuwait to try to take their oil fields, and that was what we moved in to stop. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, ended up destabilizing the entire region, you know, even
like
more
we do.
Yes, like we do periodically, since Iraq didn't exist before we created it.
Yep.
More or less true.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have Bernie Sanders. He's gonna be the president, right?
I hope so.
If he runs, I think he will win. If he manages to not get cheated out of the nomination, he'll win. Yeah.
And they're pushing Hillary so hard. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's obvious to me that Clinton is trying to game the system. And the system's like, yes, we'll do whatever you want.
Yeah, I was watching the news the other day. And they're already like pushing it being Trump versus Hillary.
Yes. Yeah.
Like they're already like the showdown.
Yeah, but she loses.
Human Rights Campaign did like an infographic and it's like the three Republican candidates against Hillary. Hillary's so much better. And it's like, where's Bernie Sanders?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know that he'd be way more on your side, Human Rights Campaign, right? Except Hillary's pulling your strings.
Yeah, they're yet another one of those groups where I'm pretty sure if you pulled the members, almost none of them would agree with the nomination choice.
Yep.
Which is, because that's a thing we saw like the last couple of months is, you know, all these organizations come out and they're supporting Hillary, and then you go to the comment pages and it's just all angry people like, what the fuck? That's not what we would have voted for. And every time they've been allowed to vote, it tends to go to Sanders.
Yep. And like, in the news thing I was watching, it was showing how Hillary was like campaigning and everything for the Super Tuesday and everything. Yeah. They're like, and here's Bernie Sanders casting his vote.
Yep. That is literally what they did.
And I'm like, I kind of like it better because they showed it like him doing that, you know? I'm like, oh, that's cute. I like that.
But there was a great comparison on Reddit of the, I guess it might have been the after election, like, you know, rally or whatever. And the Hillary Clinton one is like maybe 100 people crammed into a corner of a giant space that's completely empty.
Wow.
And then the Sanders one is like in a football stadium. Packed with people.
Yes.
Wow.
Like, I don't know. It's, there's definitely a very clear, like, you know, the system is throwing everything it can against Sanders. And the shitty thing is it's not even that he's that radical. Like, really, as a pure progressive, he's not that great. He's a moderate, essentially. Like, he'd be a centrist in Europe.
Yes.
He just happens to be infinitely better than everything else running right now.
Yeah. Like, I'm fairly sure he'll win New York.
Yeah.
At least our area. Which is hilarious because New York is Clinton's home state.
Well, but
God, it's not her home state. Arkansas is her home state.
Arkansas?
Yeah. She's a carpetbagger.
Yes, and she's gotten a lot of shit for that because it was very clear when she ran the first time that she moved to New York to be a senator specifically to have a chance at running.
Yeah.
And we're all kind of aware of it.
Yeah. It's also like, Hillary feels entitled to be president. She feels like that is owed to her.
Right, it's her turn. She spent her time.
I've seen so many pictures of her lately, of her looking completely crazy.
Well,
has anyone else seen them?
Yes, she's not dumb. She's not like a Bush. She's not stupid. She just, like, she has to be in a frenzy because really she's the only one who wants her to be president at this point, or that's what it seems like.
You know? Do you remember when Howard Dean ran and he was doing so well, and then he was excited once and he went, we're gonna go to this state and this state and this state, and that was it, his campaign was over the next day.
Yeah,
contrast that with Trump literally going, oh, I'm Rubio!
And splashing water all over the stage.
My God! And they're like, that's what we're looking for right there. Slow clap it up. That's our guy.
Well, if you're sick of, like, stuck-up people who aren't...
You could have had that. You've had people who are genuinely passionate.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that guy's passionate. We hate him. That guy's robotic. We hate him.
There were other problems with Howard Dean's campaign. He's also apparently like completely sold out. He's a lobbyist now.
Oh, God.
I don't remember which industry for, but yeah, he's like a complete shill. Because I believe he's also...
So can't we vote for Bernie because he doesn't overtly seem like a whore?
Yeah. Well, and honestly...
That was not sex worker inclusive. I appreciate sex workers.
Right. It, even if it had been, it still would be more feminist than Hillary's campaign.
Oh, my God. And, like, Hillary's going to lose just because she's really bad at talking to brown people.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Or at least I think she should lose based on that. Yeah. And there are a lot of brown people in this country.
But they were saying that she's going to win the South because of, I don't know, black people.
Well, yeah, somehow they were very good at tricking the black community into thinking that they were their friends, despite, like the thing that she's getting shit over now, like the thing protesters keep hitting her with is she supported some legislation that, she made a comment about...
super predators?
Yes, how young black men are super predators and must be brought to heel and how they're super dangerous. And I guarantee that had an element of effect in, you know, the current climate where, you know, cops feel they can kill black 11-year-olds because yeah. they're super dangerous. They're fully, mm-hmm. fully murder capable at
oh, yes.
And, know, like, I kind old. Of understand that she, like, I've heard the quote and it's not that bad in context. But
well, no, there's no way for that not to be bad. I don't think there's any bad. Context.
It's she's saying that she was talking about like a specific type. I don't know.
It,
but like
it's making the assumption that how any she children... added.
No, it wasn't though.
All right.
But well, and then how it continued on, like we can talk about later about like how it got that way and how to fix them or how to fix not
but first
fix them,
we
fix
need
society.
To lock up all
that
the super
creepy.
Predators.
Well, I didn't yeah. say lock them up, but,
but then she supported legislation.
Yes.
To yeah, massively. She gave me my job.
It's
she massive. She's the reason that so many African American youth are incarcerated.
That sucks.
Yes. So that comment in the context of, and then she did this.
Yeah,
seems
yeah.
worse.
That's worse.
Well, also, like, it's implicit that, you know, these super predators she's talking about are not white kids.
Oh,
but,
no.
But if she had any slight point, it would apply to any children living in that circumstance. But
sure.
it was very specifically aimed at, you know, scary, scary, tiny black children.
Yes.
Because, they're terrifying.
And then she had the Black Lives Matter protester, like, booted out. I'm like, but that yeah. protester paid $1,000 to be there.
Yeah, holy
wow.
shit. Like, good on that person.
I guess Hillary just didn't think that black people had that kind of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure what's kind of funny is she hasn't gone the Fox News route of getting, like, you know, the one or two token black people that are willing to say anything, you know.
She got some young, you know, people, like, in the news thing, they showed her, like, table or people working on campaigns. Like, oh, look, there are some 20-year-olds. Yay!
Well, I legitimately know some younger people on Facebook and on Twitter who are very pro-Hillary.
Yeah.
And they seem so strange to me. And it's mostly that they seem anti-Bernie. They're like, oh, I hate those Bernie bros. I'm like, yeah. yes, but just like me when it comes to things Tumblr likes, you can't judge a thing by its fans.
Yeah.
Also, I don't... like, are Bernie bros an actual thing? Because I'm mostly convinced they're a construct. Like,
me too.
Like welfare queens, where it's like, oh, this horrible straw man. It's not yeah. real, but...
I haven't heard Bernie
yeah,
Bros.
Yeah, and what
before.
Is I don't quite know what the Bernie Bros do other than care about Bernie Sanders.
No,
like
it's a phrase. It is like completely a straw man. I've never seen it used outside of you know, people who are shilling for Hillary talking about it. It's like it rhymes, I think, is the biggest
yeah.
damaging point about it.
Mm, well,
you know, so
it doesn't
it's
rhyme,
catchy.
It's alliterative.
But it's alliterative. It's catchy. Sorry. It's catchy.
It is catchy.
You know,
catchy.
It's meaningless.
It's just yeah, not a thing. Like you know.
Or it's because they're trying to be like the whole, if you're a girl, you're voting for Hillary.
Yeah. Well, there is. I mean, at this point, even Cameron Esposito, who I love dearly, like I've kind of had to stop listening to her shows because she just demagogues for Hillary, and like that's the only point that she can make at this point. And I still understand it. I understand how important it can seem to be able to say, like, yes, a woman has been president.
Mm.
But at the same time, like, it's the only, that's literally the only selling point Hillary has at this point
yeah.
is that she's a woman.
And I can't really vote demographics.
Yeah.
Like, there were definitely far too many accusations when Obama was elected.
Mm.
And I understood, like, I was saying during that election, when it was Obama against McCain and McCain chose Palin and I'm like
yeah.
I will say that there are competent Republican women you could have chosen.
Oh, yes.
So
no end.
I still believe this is my conspiracy theory that they saw where the nation was gonna go and they're like, nope, we don't wanna win. How do we sink our campaign quickly? You there.
Yeah.
You're a moron.
Yeah.
Well, and that is the thing, is like that would be the other side of the coin, is would those people vote for Palin? Because if not, then, you know, there a lot of their arguments fall apart. It's if that were the only important thing was having a woman in the office.
Was having a woman Democrat.
But that's a stupid demarcation. If you're making the argument that it has to be a woman and we must, like, you know, ignore all other issues of policy, then really you better vote for whatever woman is up there, even if they're, you know, from an opposing party. Otherwise you're disingenuous.
And I think that the argument would be that a Republican woman is a sex traitor.
Yeah.
That, you know, Republicans are so anti-woman that you can't be a Republican woman, really. Mm-hmm. You must be a puppet of some sort.
But, and I do admit, like, I have that really thought sexist. About conservatives. Yeah. Like, it is hard to imagine. It's really easy to fall into the pitfall of the stereotype, because if you see the majority and how bad it is, and then you stop and think, like, how can anybody who's intelligent be a member of this group? But it does happen.
Right. And I mean, there are people who are actual conservatives rather than what conservative has come to mean. Like, oh, I want smaller government. Mm. You know, I want... Like, that would be a conservative that could exist rather than what it's become. I did hear a thing on NPR this morning where evangelicals are calling their flock out. They're like, listen, we believe in Jesus. How can you be pro-Trump? He is sin personified.
Yes. But yeah.
Like, you were against Bill Clinton because he got a blowjob, and now you're like, yay, Trump, he's our guy.
Yeah.
He's greed. If you were going to make greed and sloth, like, you would just squish them together, and Trump would come out.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe not sloth. He's a little too active for that.
I guess.
No, he's...
Gluttony?
He's
or
really
gluttony. Envy.
Yeah, actually...
Several of the deadly sins.
I think sloth is in there, because he's really bad at business.
And, like, wrath.
Wrath.
Definitely wrath.
And he looks like a gargoyle. And not like the sexy gargoyles. He looks like water should be coming out of his mouth.
I do love the photoshops of, like, where they replace his eyes with
his mouth.
Yes,
what?
So good.
I've not seen that.
I will link it in the show notes.
Maybe I have seen it. Yeah. No, I don't know.
But for a long time, it was just the one of, like his mouth open and, like, his, you know, goofy teeth, and then in. But the most recent one is like he's making some sort of scrunchy face. And his lips are closed, and it's much subtler.
I mean, that's half the reason people are voting them, is just because he's entertaining, too.
Yes, I agree.
Also, he gets tons of hours of free time daily and free advertising daily by the news cycle, who are all like, oh, we wouldn't cover him so much if he weren't so popular, but we're also going to make him popular because we're not going to talk about anything else.
Yeah. I did hear somebody at my job give the conspiracy theory that they thought that Trump is basically a Trojan horse. And what's going to happen is that Trump is going to choose a VP who is just a demagogue, just completely inappropriate, become president, and within the first year, step down. And so this much worse fascist can be in the White House when they otherwise could never have gotten in there. I'm like, oh, that would be evil.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, what would happen if he chose Marco Rubio? Ted Cruz. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting. Rubio's the one who's also, like dumb as tax.
So there's no, like, when you come to choosing your VP, so does anyone oversee that? Is it just whoever has been voted as president?
Their campaign crew decides that. I don't think that John McCain, for instance, chose Palin. Mm-hmm. I think they're like, you're going to be with Palin because she's young and perky and you're the Crypt Keeper.
Well, sort of similar to, like the whole thing that's happening now with, you know, the election between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Like, that's the DNC was able to decide its own rules. And weirdly, I think, like, the Republicans, you know, caucus system makes way more sense than the Democrats one. But that's all, like, none of that, I don't think any of that's laid out in the Constitution at all. Mm-hmm. It's the party itself is deciding these rules and making these decisions. So, I think they, you know, get to kind of choose that. Because really, it's, the idea is that there shouldn't be any restriction on who you can vote for. It's just, you know, the two major parties are the only ones that get access to the infrastructure to, you know, put people out there. And then
the money and all that.
Yeah.
But, like... Yeah, just odd. So I wonder if Bernie becomes, or is, gets the nomination, who would he? Who would his VP be?
That's still up in the air. And I think we won't know, obviously, until he defeats Hillary in the field of battle. Oh.
But, like, why wouldn't there, like, is there any possibility that it could be, like, Bernie is president and Hillary is VP? Or is there too much hate at that point?
Well, what? I thought there was too much hate between Obama and Biden, and certainly Obama and Clinton in the last election. And it's like, nope, they're all together now.
Yeah. Well, Obama, like, I mean, it was a smart move for him to, and it wasn't really a confusing move for him to make her, you know, to give her a position in state, because it fit his image of trying, you know, pretending to be progressive, and they don't really have that different of ideas about things. So, you know, it was fine. Yeah, she got super nasty in the campaign and, you know, it was like straight up race baiting.
Who's her VP right now?
Biden.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would, I personally think that would be disastrous, but that would be an option.
Yeah. Why do you think it'd be disastrous?
Because I don't think it's a good idea to let her. Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea to let her. She's responsible for Libya. Like she's the reason that we have that gigantic mess, you know, fussing over the entirety of Europe. Or at least, you know, a lot of the refugee issue comes from us destabilizing that particular country. So yeah, no, I don't want her in a position where she can make decisions anymore, because like, we've seen what she does.
I wouldn't want her to. I just mean it would be a compromise.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if Bernie gets the nod. I don't think he needs to compromise to Clinton.
Yeah, no. That's true.
No, I also don't. That is the thing, is I don't think he would necessarily reach out to her like that.
No.
Because really, the other reason he functions as well as he is because he's not doing any of the shit that you're supposed to do for campaign rallies.
True.
Like, he doesn't, I don't even think he has a stylist. You know, he just...
And we love him for it.
Yeah.
He's our crazy Jewish grandpa.
Yeah, he might not even have speech writers half the time.
I don't think he does, and thus he seems authentic.
Yeah.
True.
Playing Sudoku. Seeing how many nines you can put in there.
That was pretty. If you haven't seen the rest, that's the third one in that series. If you haven't seen the others, they're pretty good.
Yeah. Little Friendly is the official YouTube videos of Q's in a Pod. They don't know it, but they are.
Yeah. I'm behind that 100%. There was another thing.
They should come podcast with us. They're probably too cool for us, though.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we could get, like, a Cooking with Carl segment. That would be
maybe
awesome.
They could make us into puppets.
Be the best.
Except they wouldn't even make puppets of us. They would literally make us into puppets.
Yeah. I'm willing to be sacrificed.
I'd be a cute puppet.
You would be.
Yeah.
With my rounded chin since I've been domesticated.
Yes, society has domesticated you.
That's why your teeth don't fit properly in your mouth and you have to get your wisdom teeth removed, because you've been domesticated.
Yes, it's true.
It's also a really good argument against creationism, or yet another good argument against creationism. Well. We're badly designed.
You mean our teeth not fitting in our jaws?
Oh, that, and our viscera are still technically, you know, designed, or not designed, but our viscera are still attached to the body as though we were quadrupeds.
That is true.
Which can cause some issues.
The way you give birth, very difficult.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
At least the Bible is like, that's because you sinned.
Aww. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise you'd just be able to pop them out, no effort or anything.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've seen, like, elephants and cows just keep on eating while they're giving birth.
True. And then kick that one around.
Yeah.
That was sad. I was worried about them.
The other day we were at a club, and I saw a guy who looked just like Malcolm Gladwell. And I didn't think that being like, excuse me, but are you Malcolm Gladwell, would come off the right way. Because Malcolm Gladwell looks specific. Yeah. You would know him in a lineup.
Unless it was a lineup with that guy who looks like him in him.
Right. It's like, if you don't know Malcolm Gladwell, he is your lost twin.
Yes.
That awkward bit of like that class of celebrity where, you know, like Willem Dafoe or Steve Buscemi, where mistaking people for them isn't necessarily a compliment because they're not conventionally attractive.
Right.
Aww.
Even though they're, you know, famous.
He did yesterday. Yesterday? Yeah. We didn't confuse them. But we were at Wendy's. And there was a guy there working who reminded us both of the same actress.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Was it Ricky Lindholm?
It was not Ricky Lindholm.
It was that girl from Carnival, and she was also in Heroes.
I'll look her up.
Carnival
was so good.
Now I'm starting. I mean, it's been long enough that I'm doubting how good I thought it was.
Really good.
But I remember it being like so good.
It's such a shame that they didn't continue it.
Yeah, for dumb reasons too. Like it was right before. I don't know. I think it wasn't advertised very well, or it was another one of those things where
like I understand it not being conventionally not being popular, but right. It was so good.
Yeah.
Incidentally, the actress's name is Clea Duvall.
Oh, cool. Clea Duvall.
Nice.
That's a cool name, Clea.
Yeah. I think so. Yes.
But
better than Rooney Mara.
But you can't be like, you look exactly like this actress.
Excuse me, sir.
But she's an attractive actress.
Yeah.
That's something.
There, at least once there was this guy who went to my school who even I think my grandfather once confused a picture of him with me. It was more that he looked like a girl, but we both had basically the same haircut and more gothy clothes.
One of those, like, if you squint or see it out of the corner of your eye.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've been confused with a boy a few times, which is fine. At least once, I was picking up Rebecca from high school, and I think maybe it was Amy, maybe not. But a couple of people were, like, coming down, like, leaving the school, and they're like, who's that cute boy? Oh, it's Amber.
So you're like the pigeon of your high school.
The pigeon?
Yeah, they're like in bird watching circles. There's kind of this thing that happens where you'll see something and be like, oh, what is that majestic bird? And
then it's a pigeon.
It turns out to be a pigeon.
Yes.
Although when you actually look at them, they're pretty.
They are pretty.
It's just that they're common.
I mean, they're related to doves.
You're hella common.
They are doves.
No, I'm not common.
You seem majestic, but you're just common. And you poop on people's car. You do it all the time.
I've yet to poop on anyone's car.
When you were a baby, since I was a baby. Pooped on a car.
Yeah, but probably in it, probably not really on it.
You don't know. I'm going to ask your mom.
Yeah, babies will poop anywhere. They don't give a fuck.
Especially me.
That's true. You were pooping till you were 7.
And then I stopped?
Hopefully
you've just
continued.
Filled up since then.
Yep.
That's where your political opinions come from, because you're full of shit.
That were like, you know, a way to I don't know, that would be kind of awful if like your biological processes like that determined what your you know what your position was. So you'd have to be like, all right, I need to remember to like hit the restroom before I vote, because
well
I haven't vacated.
It does sort of work that way. Like if you have a big meal beforehand, I think you're more likely to vote Democrat. If you're an undecided voter.
Yeah, I can sort of see that in the sense of, like, if you're satiated, you're less likely. Because really, you know, conservatism does tend to be predicated on fear of not having enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or fear of having what you have taken away.
Well, I mean, that's what being conservative in any case is.
Yeah.
If you're conservative about, you know, the amount of water you're drinking, it might be because you're afraid you're going to run out of water.
Right. Or that, you know, someone is going to come steal your water.
Like, or they're going
immigrants.
To poison it with
with
lead.
With lead.
Yes. To save money.
$100 a day. Which is nothing. It's a drop in the bucket.
I don't know. It'd be a lot for me if I could save $100 a day.
No. Yes, but not if you're the city of Flint, Michigan.
Can I No, I don't want to personify the city of Flint, Michigan. That's true.
Why? Because they'd be black?
No, because they'd be full of lead.
It's true.
I mean,
idiocy.
Yeah.
And corruption. Possibly.
Well, and of course, there are like areas that are prone to lead poisoning do have a measurable uptick in crime because, mm-hmm. you know, there's the whole poverty cycle. Oh, yeah.
I definitely, at my job, have gotten a lot of kids that's like, oh, you had fetal alcohol syndrome. Oh, you know, you, like, basically any way you can abuse a baby makes them a criminal.
Yeah.
So be good to babies.
Well, please. I mean, you know, it's another one of those silly things. Like, at the core of it, if you're a society and you want to function well, then obviously you would want to be taking care of you know, future citizens.
And you awfully, you would certainly resent it if your parents did not care enough about you. They're like, no, we'll just do heroin until you're born.
Right. Which even in that case, like a sane society would still take care of the child in that case and not, you know, not leave them to their fate of being a future, you know, criminal or
and what was it that Tumblr was going on about how telling pregnant women not to drink alcohol is something?
Oh, well, no,
ableist?
There was, okay, I don't know what Tumblr is going on about, but the CDC or one of the health, you know, one of the government health organizations, they released their statement that even like women should not drink alcohol unless they're on birth control, which is...
That's stupid.
Yes, exactly. And that's what most people are worried about. I have no idea what Tumblr is upset about.
Yeah, okay, Tumblr definitely took it in the wrong direction.
Yes.
I did hear that it was that they were said that you shouldn't be drinking alcohol if you're trying to get pregnant.
Women are always trying to get pregnant, basically, the attitude. Yeah, I think that used to be the case, but the recommendation was essentially that if you're a woman and you're not pregnant, you should never drink alcohol.
We're going to get back to my yelling about the lack of knowledge of the female anatomy in society.
I'm all because, for that.
Okay, even if I was to start drinking alcohol, like, if I had sex right now, and had a fertilized egg.
Okay, hold on. We're going to cut to when that's done.
Okay.
Oh God, that was great.
For one, I have to be during fertile time, which I might be right now. Anyways, if I was and I had a fertilized egg, there would still be like 10 days before it implanted, and I would and the alcohol would have an effect on it.
Mm.
So like, if you are worried about it or whatever, and you know. Like, if you have a period, you can drink during your period and, like, 2 weeks afterward, like, a week afterwards and be fine. Like, even if you then got pregnant. Unless, you know, I don't know, you have an odd cycle, which you should take care of that.
Yep. Also, like, I have to imagine that fetal alcohol syndrome is usually seen in cases where there's sustained drinking during the pregnancy. Like I have a hard time believing that throughout the period or throughout the course of human history, you know, it's been as big of a deal as that, especially given.
And you can drink some.
Yes.
Like, definitely, like.
I've heard it almost recommended that in the first trimester, you can have, like, a drink.
Yeah.
And we have, like, more of a, like, I mean, it's good to have a stigma against drinking and smoking when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
But, like, we have such a one that my mom, when she was pregnant with me, was having, like, the contractions when before you're pregnant or whatever, and she was having trouble sleeping, like, you know. And the doctor sent her home and told her to have some alcohol, go to sleep or whatever. And so much so that when someone heard that, they asked me if that was why I'm so short. I'm like, no, I was born, like, 2 days later or something. It didn't have an effect.
Is that, so that's not the way you are? Like, that's not why you're this way?
That's not why you're an artist?
It's so weird. But you see what I mean.
Is this like Brave New World where we put some fetuses and we shove them full of alcohol and then they're the gammas and they become artists?
Maybe. But yeah, so someone actually asked me that because it's like, no, my mom wasn't drinking alcohol. Like, you've met my mom. She doesn't drink alcohol.
That could be an outgrowth of just the general lack of understanding of basic biology.
So did you have to, like, go to the liquor store? Because I'd love to see your mom praying going to a liquor store and being like, I'd like a bottle of wine.
I assume they had something. I don't know. But wow. But then you also get people who put, there's some lady who put brandy or something in the baby's bottle.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
No. Because you can use a little bit, like, on the gums. But, you know.
Well, whether or not you should is probably.
Don't give him a mixed drink.
Yeah. Yeah, but, it's just, it's one of the folk things is to put a little bit on the gums to help with teething pain. Right,
because alcohol
numbs. Don't let them drink it.
Yeah, especially don't let them drink anything sissy.
Sissy?
Sissy. Mixed drinks. Yeah. Daiquiris. Don't give the child daiquiris.
Nothing with a full tiny umbrella in it.
Yeah.
They'll poke their eye, Amber.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or they'll, you know.
Certainly don't give them
Lycorine.
Absinthe served by BSP because they're bad at it.
We make a lot of area-specific remarks in our podcast.
Okay, BSP is a club nearby. They did a...
Thereby Duo. Duo, which has the best food anywhere.
It's true, and they're I think they're still closed.
They're a pretty cool club place. But they did a, what was it, 1920s?
Something like that.
Was it New Year?
Yeah, New Year.
Yeah, they tend to do period
New Year. And because it was the 20s, there was absinthe, which is good if you serve it right. I ordered it, and it was wrong and disgusting.
I disagree because absinthe tastes like licorice, and I don't think it's possible for that to be good.
It is good. You put it, you water it down, and you put sugar in it. It's really good.
But, no.
That's all.
Licorice flavor. Gross.
They also didn't know what I wanted when I asked for a Dirty Shirley, so.
No. Is that a Shirley Temple with the shot of espresso?
I made that joke! I said, you are like the Daniel of alcohol.
Yeah. It's easy, though. It's just a Shirley Temple with vodka.
Dirty usually refers to adding a shot of espresso, so.
No, not necessarily.
Oh, that reminds me. Oh, I stole a new joke from Troll X. Where do men's rights activists get their water?
Where?
A well, actually.
I really enjoyed that.
Yes, and I think they stole it from Tumblr, but you know.
Yeah.
Tumblr, it occurs to me, is very much like 4chan in the sense that less like with 4chan, you know exactly where to go to be horrified and where not to. Not that anybody goes to 4chan anymore.
But it's like Russian roulette on there. It's like attractive porn, funny meme. Oh God, no.
Yeah. But Tumblr has like no, you know, unless you've already picked out what specific things you want to look at, like you do not know what you're getting.
Yep. Well, I mean, you have to follow people for them to be in your feed.
Yeah.
Incidentally, since we're on the topic of Tumblr, I guess Yahoo is regretting buying them and might just shutter the site because it's not profitable. It's like everyone knew it wasn't profitable.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, though, like, I don't think anybody uses Yahoo anymore. I don't know how they still exist, even.
True.
I was pretty surprised when they put out a season of Community.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Amber, final thoughts.
Vote for Bernie! Because fuck this shit!
Or Jill Stein.
Jill Stein.
Is Jill Stein running, Daniel?
Yes. She hasn't been arrested this time.
What? Yeah. She was arrested before?
Yeah, Jill Stein. There is a lot of footage of Jill Stein being whisked by security forces into unmarked vans. Mm-hmm. Because she was pretty active during the Occupy thing, and every year, essentially, when she tries to break into the presidential debates, because the Green Party is generally locked out of them, and usually gets arrested, or even for just showing up on the premises, before she even tries to walk in the building.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. But, so I guess that'll technically be my final thought, is you know, if you can't stomach, if you don't want to vote for Bernie, and you can't stomach Trump, and you can't stomach Clinton... Consider a vote for the Green Party.
Throw your vote away.
Well, no. If they get 5% of the vote, then they get access to election funds and can actually get on the stage.
Cool.
It's the bar that they've been trying to break. So
that's a good bar.
You know,
we're both registered as Green Party.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw a sign today. This might be my final thought that said, "Vote for Bernie because you." All right, it said, vote for the man who walked with Martin Luther King Jr. since you can't vote for Martin Luther King Jr.
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing that's a shame, that since we're Green Party, we can't vote in the Democratic primaries.
Yeah.
And it's too late to switch.
Which, again, I don't believe that's the case for the Republicans. I don't think they're as strict about
that.
We
need to change it, Democrats.
Also, it depends on the state. Like, some states, they have open primaries, but not New York.
Okay. Yep.
Say goodbye, Amber.
Goodbye, Amber.